Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, it is a good day. Always we have things to work on in life, but we want to thank you, God, for all of the goodness and love that we each have in life. You are the source of goodness and love. Thank you for your mercy and kindness. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We all have a different prayer, don't we? I heard a prayer the other day that just struck me as nice. It went, Lord, let the bad people be nice and let the good people be nice. Yes, I agree with that prayer. It is simple, but it warmed my heart when I heard it. Because we have those wishes. Often, we take our blessings for granted. Here, we have the freedom to speak and to have peaceful demonstration, even against our government. We can choose God or not. We can choose our religion or not. We can own a Bible or not. And on Christ Today, I spoke recently about the Hmong people group in Southeast Asia, how they were being hunted and killed by the Lao government, and that was because they were an ally of the United States of America in the Vietnam War. And so the communist view was that those soldiers who helped America, they, their children, and their grandchildren, all must be eliminated. Yes, killed. And there were a few thousand of those Hmong people living in the jungles, just getting by. And the Lao military used them for weapons practice. It's true. I have heard the testimonies of the people that were there. Then the American, an American couple went into the jungle to help them, and the process took some years to get those people who were chased and shot at out of the jungle. A part of this story is that when that couple went into Laos, they were not arrested, but they were detained for several, 4 days. Amazingly, they had Bibles in their backpacks, a Bible for each of them, and the Bibles disappeared. That was amazing. And that was good, because if their Bible had been found, they would have been put in jail for a time, because Bibles and missionary activity was illegal there 15 years ago. And I thought of this when a minute ago I said, we are free to own a Bible or not. You see, in some countries, you are in trouble if you have a Bible. And I've heard stories of the government allowing Bibles into their country, but then that government said that they would distribute them. And it was later found that somehow the government had gone through those Bibles and removed either a page or here or a page there or a section before those Bibles were handed out. And so that is just the way the world is. And I heard a ministry on the radio telling about how they had brought Bibles into China and they followed all of the government requirements because they did not want to do anything illegal. Yeah, well, then I thought of a story I heard years ago about a building, 20 years ago, about a building that was full of Bibles that had never been distributed. The government took them in, but never distributed them. And I thought of a group that I used to know. They would travel in small groups of maybe 10 people, and they went on a short trip into a restricted country where Bibles were not allowed. And in their luggage, they had barely anything except Bibles. And the Bibles were, of course, in the appropriate language, and they relied on God to protect them, to keep them safe. And I mean the Bibles and the people. as they traveled to different parts of the world. They were covered in prayer from people at home. And throughout their operations that they engaged in, they were remarkably successful. They hardly ever had a suitcase full of Bibles confiscated. And only a small number of their group was ever arrested. And they knew the jail could await them. And yet these people paid their own way and went faithfully to deliver Bibles to countries where Bibles were not allowed. And if they were caught, they could for sure be put in a jail cell. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember to pray for God's work and God's word to be known throughout the world, and for God's people to be protected as we seek to do the will of God and follow His plan. And by the way, we also need to pray for America. And from what I see, the country in general is far from the will of God. And there are so many people who are ignorant of what God's will is. But you've heard it said that in America, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, we've all heard that. And I just wonder if there is no excuse for ignorance of God's law. You just kind of have to wonder, don't you? Also, there are those who seek to diligently follow God through Jesus Christ. And there are those who say America is lost and sinful, therefore America must be judged. And that is what Jonah thought about Nineveh. God needed to judge those awful people who lived in Nineveh, who really and truly, they did cause the Hebrew people to suffer greatly, greatly. But the Ninevites repented, and God held back His judgment. Thank God for His mercy in judging us and destroying America also. Yeah, I remember, I was coming back from a missions trip once, and I came back from Asia, and I landed in America. Oh, that was about 8 years ago. It was a good trip, and the group that I was a part of was set up to help young missionaries, mainly in Thailand, as they were reaching out to various countries around them. And yes, those missionaries had a big risk to them for doing their work, but they were strong in the Lord, and those young missionaries had faith as well as success in spreading the gospel in the surrounding countries. The group I was with was training those missionaries and church people also to be strong in the fundamental Christian doctrines. Yes, it was a worthwhile endeavor, and it had good results. Yeah, I just started to tell you about my airplane, the one I was on that came from Asia, and it landed on American soil. Oh, how good that felt. But I felt close to tears for another reason, and that was because I felt a spiritual darkness in America. I'd come from a land where almost everyone had ancestor worship instead of God, and I had witnessed both Christian and non-Christian worship services on that trip. So I felt the spiritual darkness coming away from Asia. And then I was so surprised that when I landed in beautiful America, I also, in my spirit, felt a sense of spiritual darkness. Yes, so of course I wondered what was coming to America. Now, I also felt the spiritual light of America. I felt that too. But I felt the darkness as well. And I did not expect that. It was a great sadness that I had when I felt this darkness. But there it was. And so I want to remind everyone to pray to God on behalf of all of those Christian missionaries who go to other countries, but also to the ones in this country. You know, the ones who go to church with us, the ones who we fellowship with. Everybody needs prayer. So pray for you too, that you, oh, and me, that when we have an opportunity right in front of us, that we have what it takes to be faithful to God and to present the gospel and the hope of this world, who is Jesus Christ. A few days ago, I told my wife that I did not sleep so good. Oh, why? She asked. It was because I had just read about how the NIV left verses out of their Bible, where the King James Version had them in. So I was thinking about Matthew 17:21, in which Jesus explains why a demon could not be cast out by the apostles. Jesus cast the demon out and then explained to his apostles that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So Matthew 17:21 is about a father who came to Jesus saying, "My son, it's like a crazy lunatic, and your apostles could not cast the demon out of him." So then Jesus cast the demon out, and the disciples asked Jesus, "Why could we not cast the demon out?" And Jesus tells them that even though they can do so much by having faith, and then verse 21, it says, "However, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So, don't you just wonder why a Bible like the NIV would leave a verse out about how to cast out a stronger than normal demon? Yeah, what kind of Bible would you want to keep around if it was missing that vital information? Well, the NIV, New International Version, and a few other versions leave that verse out, or they leave it out of the text, and then they address it in a footnote. Well, after I told my wife about how much this was troubling me, she said, "Don't you remember how you used to tell us about all the verses that the King James Version had, which the New International Version and other versions left out?" So then I remembered how, yes, 20-some years ago, I did tell that to anyone who would listen. But just then, it was not fresh on my mind. So I was exposed to that truth, and it just struck me. I think there are about 25 verses that were in the King James Version, but not in the New International Version or several other Bible versions. So if you want to look into this, there are several books about it, and one of them is the New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ripplinger. Besides there being verses that have been left out, there are numerous changes where Jesus or the Holy Spirit are described with a little bit less reverence than in the King James Version. For instance, if the King James Version says, "The Holy One of Israel," A modern version might say, the one. Or King James might say, our Lord Jesus Christ. And a modern version might say, our Lord. Another, for instance, could be where the King James would say, the Holy Spirit of God. And a modern version might say, the Spirit. So many of these examples used to be fresh in my mind, but they're not so fresh anymore. You can look it up, though. It's easier now than ever before. Not only do we have access to books that write about it, we have the internet, the World Wide Web, and all of this information is available there. You can look it up easy. So, let me talk a little bit about current times. What's going on in the world these days? Well, I read a newspaper in the science section of that newspaper. There was a headline that solar storms might be causing the gray whales to get lost. Do you wonder if maybe that is why dolphins and whales and other fish and mammals are swimming out of the water onto sandy beaches? They've been doing that for a couple of years now. And then they die on those beaches. They die by the score. A score, by the way, is 20. Yes, and I have heard these ideas about why the fish and mammals are beaching themselves before, why there are sharks or porpoises or whales. Why have they swam way up an inland river? Why? Yeah, we do wonder why. And for years we've heard that they don't know why. But here is the best explanation that I have heard. And it was out of a book called Earth Rising by Dr. Nick Begish. It was copyrighted about 2000, maybe a little after. And I read it at that time. He talked about the military communications all over the world, especially with the submarines, how they used ultra-low frequency radio transmissions to communicate. They took maybe half an hour, maybe longer, to actually get from their home in, let's say, Washington, D.C., to the submarine halfway around the world, but they could communicate, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to be able to communicate at least a little bit, and so it was possible, and it was dependable with those ultra-low-frequency waves. But some scientists believe that that is very close to the brain wave frequency of the various fish, and that it interferes with their brain function. So, and then besides that, the sound is amplified by the water. Maybe you've heard that you are not supposed to tap on the sides of an aquarium because the fish hear that sound very much amplified than what you hear. And so that's the principle of those ultra-low-frequency military communications, that they are also amplified when they go through the water. So those fish, those sea mammals, try to get away from that sound, which makes it hard for them to function. You could say hard for them to think. Well, I don't know about thinking, but that's my word. Well, when they have a headache, everything gets a little harder. And I think that they are trying to get away from that sound that they hear. And Dr. Nick Begish, who wrote several books, he tells you about that and tells you the sources of where he gets his information from. Often enough, it is from the military journals, military sources. So, yeah, there's things we don't understand, and they go on in this world. Oh, including, look what's going on in Iran. They shot down that Ukrainian passenger plane, and it left all 176 passengers dead and crew. Those passengers were said to be Canadian citizens. And you will read other news, and they are called Iranian citizens. So I just kind of wonder if they were dual citizens of both countries. Well, I don't know the answer. It's just something I couldn't help but think of. But even though that passenger airplane was brought down by a missile, I think there's another big story, might even be bigger, about the Iranian citizens who were protesting their government. See, that just hardly happens in those Middle Eastern countries. But there, the citizens of Iran were strong enough, were willing to protest against their government. And their protests have been going on now, for other reasons, for about 6 weeks now. Even though the police have used lots and lots of tear gas, and they have used real bullets on the crowd, there's reports of lots of those protesters having died. They were killed by the police bullets. I've heard 200 died, I've heard 300 died, and in one case, I heard there was 1,000 deaths because of those protests in the last 6 weeks. You kind of have to look at the information and figure it out. But you do get information, you just have to think when you hear it. Well, the Iranian leaders are upset because they cannot control the people of Iran. And the Iranian people are also upset. And sometimes you hear about it on their news, or they hear about it on their news. There were at least two television news broadcasters in Iran who work for the state radio, I mean state TV, and they quit their jobs. And just listen to what they said. There was a little tweet by one of them, Gerar Jibri. He posted this: "Forgive me for the 13 years I have told you lies." Can you imagine a television anchor saying that? "Forgive me for the 13 years I've told you lies." Wow. And then there was another, Zaria Kademi, she said, referring to her being a woman, "Thank you for accepting me." And then she continued, "After 21 years of radio and TV, I will never get back to TV. Forgive me." Well, something's going on there. And there was another anonymous communication tweet, and it said, "Our nation of Iran has made unacceptable mistakes. Government officials must resign." So, you can see there's a lot of unhappy people in Iran, and they are protesting. They are demonstrating. I can't even guess where this will end up, but a lot of people are unhappy. The people are unhappy, and the government is unhappy. So what kind of change could come? It could be change for the better, or it could be change for the worse. We really don't know. But let us pray for the best change that any people can have, that they get to have a born-again relation with Jesus Christ. That would be the best one, the best change. Oh, but in the meanwhile, we have the real world of politics to deal with. It's pretty interesting, you know. We have the Iranian president, Rouhani. That was just 3 days ago. He gave an angry, angry speech, and he made veiled threats against all of the Western military that was in the Middle East. Those leaders in that part of the world, they are often bullies until they encounter resistance. And we don't know what will happen. We just really don't know. But remember that they do call us, the United States of America, their primary enemy. They call us the great Satan. And don't forget how much they oppose us. They oppose Israel also. They call Israel the little Satan. But you can only guess what will happen. Me too. We know that things have been going on that are under the surface. We don't know everything that goes on. Take for an example, our previous president. He gave the country of Iran $1.7 billion of this and that, and cash. $1.7 billion is a lot of money. It's 1,700 million dollar bills. That's a lot of money. And it was just given, as far as we can tell, for a gift or for an encouragement for them to sign something. I don't know. But pallets of currency, paper currency, went to Iran. There were American banknotes, Euro banknotes, and Swiss banknotes. That's a lot of currency. That happened in early 2016. Our ex-president Obama did all of this in secret. There was no congressional approval and no congressional oversight. The public was unaware of this for months. The public didn't know until it was leaked in about September of 2016, months later. So nowadays, our President Trump has said that this improper gift of currency to Iran was used to fund terrorism and to make bombs which killed our sons and daughters in our American military. Some people call this an act of treason by our ex-president. Well, I guess they would also say about our previous administration that making firearms available to the Mexican drug cartels, well, that was also a pretty bad thing. That previous administration also made military items and high technology items available to other nations. Oh, because the United States did not oppose the sale of super advanced quantum computers to China. They've got lots of them now. I remember over a year ago seeing 30 of them in an array in China in a photograph. Anyway, we did not oppose that happening. We did not oppose the sale of strategic uranium ore to Russia. So, we got some bad stuff. Will we recover from these bad deals? Our typical response is, yes, of course we will recover, and we will thrive, and we will overcome. So, yeah, I say yes, but not without God, my friends. Nope. For it is God who has given us wisdom and innovation and protection to Americans of every race. So we must keep God in the center of our focus. And otherwise, who knows what will happen? There have been other nations who have abandoned God, and they did not survive. And they disappeared from history. They did not honor God. But God did sometimes use them for his purposes, to chastise another nation, And so there are times when things happen, maybe a military conquest, maybe some kind of a delay, decay within that country. All sorts of things happen. And I know I have heard prophetic people who say that both of these things will happen to America, both decay and a military occupation or conquest that will happen to our nation. Now, I don't know what to say about that. All I know is historically it can happen. It's just something you have to ponder and pray about and determine for yourself, because things do happen, and we do have to be aware. We do want to protect ourselves in every way, as a nation, as a community, and as a family. And what does that take? To me, it takes those basics of survival. You get to figure this out for yourself, but I say have water and a water filter. Have food. Have warmth. And that starts with clothes, and it could mean blankets to sleep warm. So the point is that we do always need to give God thanks for what he has given us. We need to give God praise for who he is. And we need to give God worship, because he alone is worthy of it. That is our God. He is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is God the Father, and God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. We understand this mystery a little bit, and partly we don't know it. It's unknowable. It's beyond our comprehension. So we know it a little bit, and a little bit we don't. Well, we do have plenty going on in the world around us, don't we? Yes, we do. And I often think about money and how that relates to us. You know, we all are concerned about money, that we have enough to spend, enough as we get through life. And that's something that we all have to look into. I don't think it's wrong to look at money. You look at the Bible. In so many parts of the Bible, money is a topic. We are taught about money. So I think it's just fine to look at that question of money and how we deal with it. Now, money. I need to talk about this for a minute. We often think of money as those dollar bills in our wallet. And that's not money. We have paper currency in our wallet. And Webster's 1828 dictionary talks about this a little bit. By the way, that's a really good dictionary. If you ever want to get a dictionary for children for their basic understanding, get a Webster's 1828 dictionary. Oh, I say children, but that has helped me very much with my concepts as an adult. You read those definitions and they are clear, they are concise. They go to the heart of the matters of things. So, Webster's 1828 dictionary says money is usually gold, silver, or copper coins, and it is used for commerce or for trade. And that paper currency or banknotes or bills of credit are used to represent coins or money. So that is to say, currency is not a thing which has value, but it represents a thing of value, like a gold, silver, or copper coin. So here we are today. Our Federal Reserve Bank has been printing money. It's not money. It's Federal Reserve notes. They have been printing these let's call them dollars, ever since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was created. And so that has been a part of our inflation, because they keep printing money. It's called printing money, but they create it out of nothing. And that is going on right now. Our Federal Reserve Bank of New York is creating, in effect, dollars out of thin air. What they call it is injecting money into the overnight funds, or the banks that hold those funds. See, the point is they are creating dollars out of nothing, hundreds of billions of dollars per month were quote-unquote injected from September 23rd, 2019 up until February 1st, 2020. That was a plan that began for just a few weeks, and then they extended it and extended it again. And now the Federal Reserve Bank of New York is thinking about extending it yet again, but it doesn't say that. Now, I've told you about what the Federal Reserve of New York has done. Twice last year I told you about that. But the news organizations and the financial magazines and papers just kind of bypass that. They don't tell you about it. And at the end of the year, last year, I was reading several, and they downplayed the whole thing. And so I kind of backed up on what I said, too, and I downplayed what I had said about what the numbers were talking about. But we don't have to get too concerned about what the exact things are. Just look at the trend. What is the trend? The number is that hundreds of billions of dollars are being injected into our monetary system. And the big picture of that means that we are going to see big inflation. It can't be avoided. We just don't know how much, and we don't know when it will hit. But it's an economic law that when you get more and more of something, you are going to see inflation. And with inflation comes instability, because it means that the businesses and the financial people do not operate well when there is an unstable economic market. That leaves us with a question of what are we going to do? How do we take care of our own little family, our own little backyard, our own little area and community? Well, I think the first thing is for every one of us to get out of debt, and then to have savings. Savings can be in one form or another, because we all have to pay our monthly expenses, and we all want to have other things that we need to live. That goes back to my water, food, and warmth. But it also includes community, because we want to be a community who depends on one another. This is always something to discuss and to figure out, and there are a lot of different people with different opinions on the whole matter. I know for years I have heard people say that the elite would not crash the economy because they would lose their money. Well, from my point of view, I don't believe that they care about dollars. I believe what they care about is having all of the assets that they possibly can. And that means your assets too. They do not need a stock market to go up and up and up. See, the stock market is where our whole citizens, the population of the United States has put most of their retirement assets. Often enough, it's into mutual funds of stock. But what I see is that the elite, they have their own assets, and they really don't care what happens to the stock market. We do. We, the middle class, do, because that's where our retirement funds are. But they have their assets in a different place. And often enough, it is in their safes at home, where they have their precious metal, gold and silver. That's what I think. Now, I don't know any of these elite people, but I read the stories. And over the decades, I read a lot. And that's what I think. That's one man's opinion. And you get to have your own opinion. And you get to see if you think that everything is going to continue as it is, or if there is going to be a problem in the economy. But please, do look. Please, do think. And consider that what would you do if and when something does happen? To maybe crash the market? Maybe collapse the economy? Don't know. And we don't know when. But a little bit of assets that you have for the just in case that happens is only wise when you consider the number of people who talk about the market not being able to continue the way it is. Oh, let's see, it's been a year and a half ago. I talked about an advisory letter that the Rothschild Group had sent out to their customers. And they warned everybody to be ready that a collapse was going to come that was unprecedented. They'd never seen one. We would never see one like it. Wouldn't see one like it. So the Rothschilds are certainly thinking about getting ready. And then you have another investor. You have Warren Buffett. He's getting ready for it. And he's doing that by gathering hundreds of billions of dollars into his funds for the purpose of buying up distressed companies and corporations. When the next depression, collapse, whatever you want to call it, whenever that downturn happens, he is going to be ready to buy up distressed companies. So, people are thinking about it. You can think about it too. You can look at all the numbers. You can look at all the graphs and all the charts. They tell us something. It tells us that things are headed in a really difficult direction. But they don't tell us quite when. We don't know that. It's just that you want to consider what would happen if, and how would you get ready for that just-in-case event. What would you do? What would you do if it happened tomorrow? Now, I don't see it happening that soon, but eventually, yeah. I see the economic laws. It has to happen, but you have to study it to see it. So anything like that would hit our family, our community, and our nation very hard. Why? Because most of us have spent every dime that we have gotten a hold of. We don't have any reserve, and that's something you want to have, is a reserve. So do you have time to build that reserve? Who knows? But the thing is if you never start, you never have a reserve. So start. Think about what it would take to carry you through a hard time. No one ever has enough. No one does, but you can at least start on it and think about it. I think you also have to have hope to get through the hard times, and that hope is spiritual hope, and for that you need Jesus Christ. But have a little set aside for the just in case. You know how to do it. We all do. It's not easy. We spend less and we save more. We have to restrain ourselves from spending the money, and we have to get rid of the debt that we have. And no, it's not easy, but that's what it takes. That's what it takes to get yourself in a more stable position. No matter what comes our way, you certainly will want to have a little savings. And it doesn't matter how much you earn. If you earn $20,000 a year or $120,000 a year, you have to determine in your mind what course you will take. And preparing for a downturn is a good idea. If you need a little help for this, you just might look at listening to Dave Ramsey on the radio. He is a good source of advice, and he will help you to get started on what you need to do every month to get to financial stability. Now, I have a friend, Newt, and we talk about these spiritual and financial matters. We see patterns just like all those professional people do. There are patterns, and we are concerned for people. And what you need to have is a little stability in your life, and usually that comes with a savings. A crash could be really hard on everybody, personally, and for our community, for our nation. It would be no fun to have a bankrupt nation, now would it? And our nation is already $23 trillion in debt. Are we broke yet? Well, a broken, bankrupt nation is no fun to live in, and there have been plenty of examples around where you see that that has happened. And it puts the people into distress. That is just the way it works. We don't know, but you just put a little bit of your assets into the just-in-case scenario. This kind of distress could really bring big changes to everything and everybody. Will it bring in the mark of the beast is a question, or the beast system. Now, the beast system can be in effect for some time before the mark of the beast comes. Really, we just don't know. We really don't. But to have something is something we know. We can know what we have, and we can be comfortable and secure in it. So get some savings together. Sooner or later, things are going to come to pass. We have a Bible that tells us that things are going to happen. And the Bible's been 100% right. It doesn't say when in terms that we understand. So have a look at that just in case and do something. We don't know when. We just know things are going to happen. There are a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas. Good people. Good Christian people. They get their ideas from the Bible. And you know what? There is a big variation of what people actually believe is coming. So I don't think we have to agree on everything, but I think we can look at the general direction, and from the general direction, we can see that preparation is a good idea. It's happened throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, where you see people benefit from being prepared for the just in case. Now, maybe our supplies won't help us. Maybe not. But they will still be around for somebody for a time of tribulation. Yeah. I mean, look at the fires that are going on. We had the Paradise fire, and our supplies, sometimes they burned up for the people in Paradise, but sometimes the supplies from the people in the surrounding communities helped the people of Paradise or other people. Supplies are good. Fires, how can you not look at the fires that are going on in Australia right now? Huge fires, hundreds of them. And in some areas, the transportation systems have stopped. Even food and water deliveries have stopped. people all over that area of Australia are without electricity. And yes, without water for weeks. Again, I say, people are without electricity and without water in Australia. So it could happen. It's not the Great Tribulation that they're going through. They're going through a natural disaster. And natural disasters can happen anywhere. They can happen right here in our neighborhood. We know we have earthquake faults. We know we have volcanoes. We know we have forests, and that means forest fires. So anything can happen, even right here in our own very neighborhood, not to mention the things that could happen in the rest of the United States. Same kind of things, right here in the United States. Things can happen. So that means have a little preparation, have some things set aside for the just in case. And that includes everything. That includes money. That includes water and food. That includes having relationship with your neighbors so that you know them and they know you and you care about them. The two great commandments, don't forget those. To love God and love your neighbor with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there are people who go through those natural disasters right here in America, even. There's hundreds of people, sometimes thousands, who go without water and food or electricity, sometimes for weeks and sometimes for longer. So all the preparations you do, well, they just might come in handy. So by all means, give it some thought. The question of what is coming is always a question. And there has been a time when people foresaw big difficulties from the way the economic decisions were going. But we have another president, and that has apparently made the timing of economic crises become delayed. So it was a few years ago that a whole lot of people were seeing that an economic crisis is going to come shortly. But it has been postponed, and we're in the same position. We don't know when, we don't know how bad it'll be, but the fundamental principles that will cause a crisis are still in place. A great big one is our debt burden for our national government, for our state government, for our community, and for each one of us personally. Debt is a big thing, and it locks us into paying for that debt. Yeah, so get out of debt. Remember to get a plan together and do that. Dave Ramsey is a good starting place. We don't know when anything will happen. We really don't. But I'm pretty sure that you don't want to be affected in a bad way by the things that could happen. It could happen pretty quickly, and we don't know when. Now, that's the big thing. We don't know when. It could be, what would you think of 5 months? What would you think of 5 years? Well, again, I say we just don't know, but the patterns are there over and over. They repeat in history. And I think the answer that we have to really focus on is it's better to be prepared 1 year too soon than 1 minute too late. And that's what I hope you consider as you think about preparedness. So I want to thank you for listening today to Christ Today and remind you that you can listen to this broadcast again or any past broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces, and you can listen to any past broadcast that you want. You also can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222 Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222 Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening today. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Let me live inside your glory.